Welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimony. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's get it.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for joining the broadcast here on the RSVP Show. I'm your host, April D. Metzler, and we are going to be diving into John chapter 18. And if you haven't caught all of these, you can catch them on the replay on the YouTube playlist for Declaring War Season 4 here on the RSVP Show. Or you can also catch them by subscribing to the podcast. You can find me over at anchor.fm/April D. Metzler for that location. And there should be different links available to subscribe on your favorite podcast stream platform. If you can't find it, just look me up here on this show. You can just type in RSVP show and put my name in there, and it should pull my podcast show up on your favorite podcast streaming software app, etc., etc. So, all right, you guys, so we're gonna dive right into this. I don't know if you guys have heard about it yet. I'm gonna go ahead and put a little plug in real quick, but I have recently, back in last summer, we had worked and diligently, I and the board members and the team over there for Kingdom Industries United to establish the nonprofit organization. We are building out that organization as we speak. I am the CEO and founder of that. And so I would encourage you guys to jump on over to the website. It's kingdomindustriesunited.com. We have Kingdom Connection events that are going to be coming on here pretty quick. They begin in June. We'll be doing the first Monday and Tuesday and first Thursday and Friday of every month, just coming together as kingdom-minded leaders and ministry leaders, outreach leaders, business people who are out there doing their work and still operating in a way that honors God and all that they do for you entrepreneurs and business folks. And just in general, we've got so many different ways to connect to other leaders, collaborate together and connect, and that's what we're hoping to build out. So I encourage you, long story short here, encourage you to get connected to the events and get registered. So everything, of course, is free, but we want to connect with you and connect you with other people that can come alongside you in what it is that you do every day for the glory of God alone. So, without further ado, let's dive right in, right? We're going to go into prayer and get this broadcast going. So we're in John chapter 18, as I said. So hopefully you guys have gotten your Bibles by now with all my yakking I was doing. And we're going to be praying, of course, before this broadcast. So if you're driving, don't be closing your eyes, of course. But yes, let's go ahead and get right into the presence of the Lord with this Word of God that's set before us. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for another day in the land of the living in which we can make an impact for your glory, Father, alone. Nothing about us. Just help us to be yielded vessels to what is good, pleasing, and acceptable in your will, Father. What is it that we have before us today that we can honor you in? What is it that we have before us today that we can honor others in? Teach us and lead us and guide us through these scriptures, through Holy Spirit that dwells within us and abides with us always. We want to be moldable. We want to be able to be shaped into that which you have for us, Father. Whatever it is that we do, however it is that we operate in our days, let it be in a way, in such a way, that we shine your light through that situation, that circumstance, that area of needing to persevere through, Father. Like, whatever it is, don't allow us to have our joy stolen by the enemy. You know, protect us, give us a revelation of wisdom, spiritual wisdom to the knowledge of you, Father, in how to address these different things that come into our situations, our lives, our families, our circumstances, Father, and help us to honor you through all of that. That's all we desire to do. Like, if there's anything in us that doesn't honor you, that doesn't honor others, Father, we ask that it be removed now in the name of Jesus. We repent of those things. We don't want to honor the world and the world's ways. We want to honor you and your ways. And sometimes we fall short of that, Father. So we ask for your forgiveness in that. We repent of the ways that we do fall short. And we thank you that Jesus's grace and mercy through the blood of Christ is already covering all of that. And your love does indeed cover a multitude of sins. And so we believe that, we receive that, we accept your grace, we accept your mercy, we accept your forgiveness for all of our many faults that we have, that we tend to operate in. Sometimes unwillingly, just as Paul says, like, I do what I do not do. I do what I hate, you know? And so, Father, teach us and lead us even more what it looks like to lean into you, to trust you, so that we can overcome these things as they come in a way that points everybody that stands witness to it back to you, back to your love, back to your light, all through Jesus Christ. By the power of Holy Spirit within us, Father, and it's in your Son's name we ask these things, knowing that they will be done unto us, so that you are glorified through your Son. You said that they will be done, and so we accept that as well and give you our yes and amen in agreement to that covenant promise that you have established through your Son. Amen. All right, you guys. So here we go. I am going to read some Word of God. I hope that y'all got your fancy schmancy notepads, because this one's really, really good. I mean, you probably heard it a gazillion times, but we need to remind our hearts that no matter how many times you hear the Word of God, you know, there's further revelation to His knowledge, His wisdom, His understanding that is set before us in this Word. So right now we have already delved into, in the previous chapters, I had to take a drink of my coffee for all you podcast listeners. we have already done the dinner. We've already done the preliminary stuff. And here we are where Jesus Christ is about to be arrested. So that's where we're at in the journey through this process of the final days of Jesus and on his ministry as the Son of Man before he is exalted on high. Okay, it says verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden, in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, and he said that twice now, was standing with them. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke, or those Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. And this is, of course, something that I wanted to highlight as I was reading this. So when it comes to Judas, I just want to highlight him for a second. You know, he had many steps of this betrayal, and I don't know how many people have really talked about that, but it's not like it's a slippery slope. Like, there was multiple times throughout this process of betrayal, this choice of betrayal, that he yielded to the devil in, because we read in, I think it was John, what was it, John 15 back then? I don't know. There it is. It's back in 14. But it literally talks about how at that moment when they were talking about the bread, you guys, sorry about that. We're talking, let's see here. There was recline, da, 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 da. There it is. It's in 27, John 13, 27. So it says, they were talking about, like, who is this that's going to betray you, yada, 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 right? And he goes, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him, is what Jesus said. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. And so it was like a yielding to our adversary, a willing choice to open a door. And we know that the original agreement, of course, was for the silver in exchange, you know, and it was a thing where, you know, Judas was constantly, he's the treasurer, you know, so he had access to money, but it was never able to be his. Like, it was a long time coming, I'd imagine, that the temptation to betray was there. Like, he was on a regular basis, all of the funds that the disciples were receiving, honorarium, whatever it was that was, you know, given to them to do the ministry that they were doing, he was responsible for that. He made the transactions for food. He made the transactions for, you know, the places that they were staying. Like, he was responsible for receiving the money and then spending the money, but never for himself. And so I find it very interesting that the one person that was entrusted with the funds to operate with the ministry, you know, for and on behalf of everybody else, was the one that ended up betraying Jesus for money. But fast forward to this moment, so he had an option, you know, every time that, like, these steps, he had to take a lot of steps in order to fulfill the fullness of the betrayal at hand. And so in this moment, it says, you know, that he chose to receive the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, right? And then he literally walked every step from going and getting them and telling them, okay, now's the time, he's here, to leading them, directing them to this place that he knew. And so they, you know, again, and it's like, I don't know exactly how he was struggling, obviously, wasn't him, but we know that when the enemy comes in, sometimes it's like a flood, and in our thought life, you know, he has a tendency to just, like, constantly just, you know, beat us down into submission, really, into what he wants, especially when we yield to him in those things. We accept His truth. We believe what is being spoken by Him in His deceitful manner, right? Like, we hold on to those thought life patterns that are deceptive and are not of God, and we don't take the time to take them captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ as it instructs us to do, so that we can overcome, and we don't take that step to submit all of our thoughts to the Lord and ask Him to bring His light into the equation to determine whether they are truth or whether they are a lie. Like, it's just like anything else. We want to bring all that we are, all that we have, unto the Lord and have Him tell us what is right and what is wrong. Not lean onto our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging Him, right? So our paths are made straight, like Proverbs 3:5-6 says. But it's trust in the Lord with all your heart is the first part of that passage. So here, though, like I said, every step of the way, however long it took Him to go from where those Roman soldiers and stuff were and all these guys to the garden, you know, that's a lot of steps that He could turn back, right? But he still chose to take those steps. And then it says in that point where verse 5, it says, you know, they answered Him, Jesus the Nazarene, and He said to them, I am He. I want you to catch this. It says, and Judas also, who was betraying Him. So this is written twice, like, who was betraying Him? Who was betraying Him? Now here's the other decision of betrayal, was standing with them. Even at that moment, he had the opportunity to turn back. He had the opportunity to, you know, say, no, I'm on this side. Like, he could have, but he chose not to. Like, in the responsibility of this, yes, he was yielded to Satan. It says that Satan entered him, right? We find that, like I said, back in 13:27. Now that I know the verse, like, I had to go see it for myself. And you guys can go see it for yourself as well. But John 13:27, but it says Satan entered him at that point at the dinner. And so from there on, he was yielded. He was submitted to this piece of the puzzle. And yes, it was to be fulfilled. And we talked about this in a previous deal. Like, I don't know, man, if it was, I'd have to be like talking to God on a regular basis, like Jesus, to understand like all of the big picture stuff. Because if I was in my own understanding on this whole process, and I knew Judas was going to be betraying me, like, I tried to talk him out of it. Be like, brother, I love you. Like, we people, you're my people, you know? Like, there would be, like, something there where I would be trying to, you know, don't go to the dark side, you know? Like, I'll go Star Wars here. Don't go. Stay on this side, right? Anyways, but you know, there was a purpose, there was a plan, and Jesus knew that, and so He was walking it out every step of the way. But man, that had to have impacted Him through the experience, because still yet He's the Son of Man in this capacity right now. He's operating in such a way that He feels every moment of this betrayal, every step, every decision that His dear brother was making to, and not literal brother, but brother in Christ, you know, one of His disciples, one of His ones that He called friend, right? Every step of the way, He was feeling this betrayal and seeing it play out. And even though He had foreknowledge of it, you can't imagine, like, and that's the deal. Like, I share that to say that, like, Jesus is going to meet you where you're at, even in things that you think that He may not understand. That understanding, that awareness, that wisdom of the experience itself will be present in that moment where He meets you. Like, if that makes sense. He's experienced so many levels of different things, and this is just one of them. And we know through our own life experience, you know, how this world's broken and everything, we know that betrayal is something hard to go through. when you're betrayed. And so there's loss, there's, you know, hurt, there's pain, there's all these emotional impacts, mental impacts. There's a whole bunch of stuff, right? So we don't discount this moment here that is going on through that process. And again, in scripture, when it talks about repeating things, I want you guys to remember, you know, like to really think about that, really meditate on that word when things are repeated throughout a particular passage such as this. So, another drink of coffee and we're moving on. All right, so we're on 12. We're going to go ahead and knock this out. It says, so the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, say that three times fast, who was high priest that year. So we're in 14. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. So Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Yeah, I'll pause there for a second just to highlight this. Peter has already denied Jesus once. Jesus knew this in advance. And here we are. Now Jesus is dealing with rejection from a friend. So that's another thing that I wanted to highlight here. This is a full immersive step-by-step experience that is heartbreaking. And it's something that I think that people gloss over quite often. But if we were to really, you know, embrace that 90s mantra, what would Jesus do? But like, you know, with the compassion side of it, like how would I feel if I was walking through these steps that Jesus had to walk through? Like really connect the dot back to what this experience really is by putting yourself into this position. How would you feel? You know, what these are people that had surrounded him, supported him, walked with him, that he had poured into, that he had taught, that he had done life with for quite a number of years now at this point, and every moment. And now he's got one betraying him, and he's got the other not even acknowledging his existence, completely like rejecting that he even knows him, right? Although Peter's the one that sits there and says, but I love you, I would never do that, you know, and then actions, the follow through just was not there. And Jesus knew it, of course, but even with foreknowledge, it doesn't discount how much this had to have, as a son of man, in that capacity that he was operating in then, had to have hurt. Had to bring sadness, you know. It's just like what it says. It says, do nothing to grieve the Holy Spirit that is within us, right? But, you know, what breaks God's heart, you know? Like, do we take the time to think upon that thing? And are we doing things that do break his heart? And how best can we, like, you know, put that down and pick up something to replace it with? You know, these are things to challenge ourselves with when it comes to this stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and move on here. it says, so the high priest, you know, started questioning Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And in 20, it says, Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said. When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas. Ah, see, now I'm all tongue twisted. That one guy, the high priest, okay? You guys can go read his name. It's Caiaphas. That's what it is. And I don't have one of those fancy pronunciation screens up to tell you, this is how you pronounce his name. And I didn't do that before, so this is where we're at, okay? It's that lack of preparation to pronounce names, I guess. But this is what we get. This is the end result of no preparation on the name pronunciation. So 25, it says, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' And Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed." So you got rejection after rejection after rejection in the most pivotal time. Like, Jesus is bound. He's in jail. He's in prison. He's like, he's there in going to trial. And his buddy over here is like, "I don't know that guy. No, I have no idea who that is. Like, nope, I don't know. I wasn't there." Like, three times, man. Like, in how can we relate to that, you know? When stuff hits the fan, like, when worst case scenarios happen in our lives, like, are those people that called themselves friends to us, are they there? Like, that's something that we can consider here. And if they're not, you know, I mean, Peter, he did, you know, it's demonstrated that he does dearly love the Lord. But in this moment, in this situation, his weakness overcame, you know, his ability to stand firm. And so it was one of those, maybe fear. It could have been that. It seems as if it is, most likely. Like, they're doing this to Jesus, then what are they going to do to me? You know, it's one of those things. But there's a lot there too, you know, just like each of us, you know, Peter's going through the process of learning his full identity, his fullness in this capacity. And at this time, you know, Jesus hasn't been exalted. He's still here as the Son of Man. There's still a few miracles left to eliminate any possible, like, doubt or questioning or whatever that was in anyone's mind. Like, but we're not there yet, obviously, in the story here. But just, if you're being hard on Peter in this moment, or if you've heard, you know, preachers be hard on him, or teachers be hard on him, you know, there's a grace sufficient to cover even what Peter did in this moment. But there's also many, many things to learn from that. Like, what was it like for the, you know, Simon Peter and the other disciple to witness Peter denying or rejecting Jesus? Like, how did they feel through this process? Like, how did that impact them? You know, our choices and our decisions and what we do impacts everyone around us, is something that we can glean from this as well. It's not just us that our choices impact. And once we grasp that understanding, we're more careful and considerate of how we choose to act or not act, speak or not speak, you know, hold on to thoughts or not hold on to thoughts, really. And so even that, you know, it says, as a man thinks, so he is, right? So, you know, we don't want those roots of bitterness to spring forth, because that will come out in, that will come out in our actions and our words and how we engage and interact with others. And so that's something to draw from this as well, is that. But understanding that I'm sure, you know, maybe Simon, Peter, and the other disciple were, because of what was going on, and because of Peter's choices, they were tempted with being like harsh in judgment toward him. Like it, and so there's just so many things, but it says in scripture to, you know, not allow anything that we do to become a stumbling block for others. Don't give the devil an opportunity, you know, do nothing to discredit our testimony. Like there's a lot that says, you know, our choices, our actions, our words, our decisions in life do impact one another. And so we want to, you know, grow closer to the Lord so that we have that compassion towards others in and through this. And so I don't know if this is speaking to anyone specifically or what, but this is something that definitely needs to be talked about with this experience that Jesus went through. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this word, though, and I'm going to let y'all go. So we're at 28. It says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the, praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium, so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. Like, he didn't want anything to do with it. And the Jews said to him, we are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. So 33 says, therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews? So they cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. And then we'll end there. Of course, there's a whole other onslaught of information coming at us on in chapter 19. It escalates quite a lot from there, and so I hope that you guys can tune in next week for that. But it's very interesting that, like, all of these people, the majority of these people, were the same ones that were, you know, praising his name when he was coming in through, you know, on a colt, on a donkey, and they were saying Hosanna, you know, glory to the highest, you know, they were praising his name a while ago. Was a very, very short turnaround on them shifting gears, the general crowd and public shifting gears and putting him into this position of accusations of, you know, disbelief or unbelief, unbelief. It was like, you know, the parable about the, you know, seeds being planted, you know, on rocky ground, if you will. It didn't take much for their belief to be stolen from them. And so that's another thing to take from this. Like, how are you operating in your walk? Are you able to hold fast, stand firm? Or are you going to waver when things get difficult and when circumstances arise that cause you to question your beliefs? Like, those situations and those circumstances and even the things that people say, do they sway you or do they not? That's the question to, you know, personal inventory for today, to really reflect on and think about this week as you go through your week this week. Just, you know, how firm are you in your foundation of your belief in the Lord, and what do you believe? You know, what is it that you believe in that's in the scriptures? And is there a way to add to that? Like, have you looked in the Word to find additional supporting scriptures? Because it says, you know, in scriptures and culture at the time when this was written, you know, it required two testimonies to correlate, to, you know, confirm something. So let two testify, you know, and that's why Jesus talks about how, you know, his Father testifies on his behalf, and so does the Spirit, you know, and so does the previous, you know, prophetic word that was already written. All of it testifies to him, and so do the works that he performs, like the miracles, the signs and wonders that he operated in. Those were a testimony about it, and so all of those partnered together solidified the truth. And we can do that too in the different foundational pillars of our own belief structures. You know, we can find four or five scriptures and choose to believe upon them and stand firmly in them, and then add to them as we go. You know, oh, okay. And if you continue to do that, and I encourage you to do that, like, be intentional about it. Like, okay, how do I operate in truth? What is truth? Just like Pilate asked, right? What is truth? Well, what is my truth? Is it God's truth? Am I in alignment? You know, these are things to consider. And so, okay, am I in alignment in the bucket of gentleness? Am I in alignment with him in kindness? What do I believe about kindness? What do I believe about, you know, these things, faithfulness? What do I believe about adultery? Let's, you know, what do I believe about sin and his grace? And what does that look like in action, to walk that out firmly, unwavering, not shifting like sand and wind or waves and water in the ocean? Like, we're firmly grounded and rooted in the understanding of his truth, and nothing is going to shake us. All right, you guys, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time. Know that God loves you and you are not alone. And these things come as we seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness. These things come and we gain these understandings that we can ground ourselves in, that way that we are like the righteousness of the oak tree, right? It's like those roots go deep, and the water that we're planted by, you know, is an unending stream of life. And so we just have to plant ourselves by the Lord, not by the world. So, all right, you guys, until next week, we'll see you then. All righty.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Alsip, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.